There's a story in the Old Testament when God's people, we sometimes refer to them as the exiles, had been in Babylon and then in Persia, and they were allowed by the decree of God and Cyrus, the king of Persia, to return back home. Some of them coming back who had lived there before, some of the older folks. And there were several that would have been born in captivity that were coming back to Jerusalem, coming to Jerusalem and Judah for the first time. But their responsibility was to rebuild what had been torn down. The Babylonians had wiped it clean, destroyed the city, destroyed the walls, and destroyed the temple. And God gave them the call with the leadership of Ezra, the governor of the people, Zerubbabel, the high priest, Joshua, to rebuild the city and rebuild the temple. And they began by rebuilding the temple first. And that makes a lot of sense, especially in the types and shadows of things to come. The very first thing they did was build the altar so sacrifices could be offered. And then they laid the foundation of the temple. And then they began to build the temple. And it wasn't going to be anything like Solomon. The older folks who had seen Solomon's temple wept when they saw that temple going up. And I think because they realized perhaps that it was partly their fault that they had lost the first one, but that it wasn't nearly significant as the first one. Zechariah leads us to consider that when we see some of the things that people were saying. While they were building, here are some things said about the circumstances in which they lived in Judah and Jerusalem. It said fear had come upon them because of the people of the countries. When they were rebuilding, there was some fear, some apprehension that the people around them, the people that had come to live there, that the Assyrians had brought in to live around them, the other four nations, Babylonians that had perhaps come to live there too, that they weren't supportive of what the Jews were doing. And so they were afraid and concerned. In fact, on one occasion, Ezra and Nehemiah, under their leadership, they had people with a tool in one hand and a sword on the other. They were prepared to build, but had a sword on one side if they had to fight the enemy that would come and try to thwart their building. And so that was going on. And while all of that's going on, the people continue. There were some people that came to them, some of the surrounding areas, said, "We'd like to help you build. Can we help?" Sound like a good idea to me. And Zerubbabel made what seems to be some folks a strange response. One says, you have no part in this. In Ezra chapter 4, he says, "You may do nothing with us to build the house of our God, for we alone will build to the Lord King of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us." He said, "You all really don't have a place. It's not your place to be involved in the building of the temple. You're not God's people." And so the people of the land tried to discourage the people of Judah, and they troubled them in building, and they hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, the king of Persia. So you got all of that discouragement going on. And even to the point of writing a letter to the king of Persia, accusing the exiles of trying to rebuild the city to a glorious city and then stopping paying taxes to the king and becoming their own nation again and basically throwing off the rule of Persia. And warned him in chapter 4, verses 6 through 23, that this was what would happen if you allow these people to rebuild the city. So now we're going to get the government involved. So they got the government discouraging them from building. And that worked. Because in the last verse of chapter 4 of Ezra, the work of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, ceased, and it was discontinued until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. They just quit. You ever give up? You ever got started building something and just decided, not now? Other things got involved. Maybe you had some project around the house and it got put off because other things got in the way. Well, spiritually, We're going to think today a little bit about how to apply the lessons we learned from Ezra, and particularly from the prophet Haggai. Well, where's Haggai come into this? In Ezra chapter 5, in verse 1, the very next verse after it tells us the people discontinued, quit building the temple, that the work of the Lord ceased, the work of the temple ceased. The prophet Haggai and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, the prophets, prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel who was over them. So Zerubbabel and Jeshua rose up and began to build the house of God which is in Jerusalem, and the prophets of God were with them, helping them. It's a great picture of the prophets coming in and preaching, teaching, encouraging them, saying, let's get back to work. And it worked. Whatever they said was heeded by the people, and they got back to work. A discouraged people heard a message that they needed to hear so that they would actually do the work that they had stopped doing. Thanks to Mr. Harvey, Paul Harvey, there's more to the story. We have the Bible class outlines, or the sermon outlines of Haggai, don't we? A little prophet found north near the end of the Old Testament. He and Zechariah are put together. And so I want you to turn over to Haggai chapter 1. Let me ask you a question. What's your, when you read through the story and you think about it, you feel sorry for those folks? I would. Maybe even give them a pass. Maybe even say, you know, I understand why you quit building. Got a lot of things going against you. And now you got the government not on your side anymore. Former government was, this one's not. And so, you know, maybe it's okay. Maybe God will understand. Haggai says some pretty plain things in chapter 1. And I want you to listen to some of these with me, and we're going to think about them together. In verse number 2, the people were saying, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Today we're going to think about us doing the work of the Lord in building up ourselves and also building each other up and encouraging each other to do the work of the Lord. The first thing they were saying was, it's not a good time for me. Right now is a particularly difficult time. We had a government that's passing laws that are really opposed to the work of the Lord. Discouraging. When Cyrus had been all on board to doing anything he could to help the people of God rebuild the temple. No longer is that true. That's because of the enemies. No longer are the people surrounded by people who are helpful. No longer are their neighbors and their friends supportive of their moral values. Is it time to give up? Was it a time when some of their own families may have turned against them? Sound a little bit like our times? To have had a government in times past and founded by men who had some great respect for the moral values of Scripture and upheld those values and understood that the government's role is to uphold those values and to punish those who do wicked and reward those who do good. Well, what happens when the government's no longer on board? We quit? Give up? Can't do that. There's still work to do. You know, there's the attitude that says, I'll get serious about this temple when I've got time. I'm awfully busy right now, I got a lot of things going on, a lot of work I've got to do. Really busy at home and busy at my work. Just don't have time. Well, people aren't going to listen to the gospel right now. These people living around us here aren't interested. All they're doing is trying to discourage us. They're not listening. Nobody is listening. Nobody is going to listen to the gospel. That is not true. Now, it may be, I may say to us, it may be if our times are going to be like the days of Noah, or Sodom and Gomorrah, or other times of judgment where it doesn't seem that people care much, maybe like they did in the past. And I'm not sure we're at that point in time. But I'll tell you one thing we can do. Like Noah, try our very best to at least save our children. I want to tell you something. We can let the light of God's word shine in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. As my friend Gary Kerr said a week or so ago on Monday night in a lesson I heard him preach, we may be getting ready to live in the days of the Roman and Greek culture in which Christianity was planted in this world. And if that's the case, if that's what God's going to allow to happen in America, then what are we going to do? Quit? Give up? Stop building? Stop doing the work of the Lord? Well, not on my time. Because I endeavor to be Haggai. To encourage us. To make sure we're not going to give up. We've got work to do. And it's wonderful work. Good work. Hard work. But I still believe we live in a world in which we can still be the people of God. Listen to me. It's always time to do the Lord's work. There's never a time it's not time to do His work. Always time. We need to remember that and appreciate that. So don't be discouraged. Get to work. If you haven't been at work, let's get to work. Let this message today encourage you as we think about how to do that, to make sure we're about the work of the Lord. And if you already are, then you're a wonderful example, and thank you. A person who's doing the work of the Lord in a culture that is going to be anything but supportive of what we may be trying to do and teach. But now here is a problem. And this is the problem we don't want to hear. And this is the message in Haggai that we completely miss if we are just reading Ezra. We feel sorry for them. We understand their plight. And we just kind of sympathize with them for a while and say, yeah, I can understand why they're discouraged. Listen to what God said to His people. Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Uh-oh. There's the rest of the story. There's the bigger problem. And I must say to you that in my judgment, that again is right where we are. Economically doing well, morally a mess. A nation that is more concerned with economics than it is with the moral values that are upheld. Now, as God's people, we get to enjoy that, and Jared prayed about that, and thank God, and he's exactly right. We do get to live in circumstances in which we are blessed way more than sometimes we're willing to recognize. I'm not sure what this paneling is. I don't think it's necessarily what I think of paneling. My dad built two houses, 1970 and then again in 1980. I got to help more in 1980. I guess I was 22 instead of 12. I could help a little more. Still paneled. See that? I didn't think about that preparing this lesson today. There it is, and that's the whole house. Still is. The one built in 1980 still looks like that. Some of us say that's out of date. That's expensive stuff. That was kind of top of the line stuff in 1980, 70 and 80. My dad jokes, who now lives in the poorest county in Indiana, worked at General Motors. He said, people like to keep up with the Joneses. He said, where I live, I am the Joneses. He was a tool and die maker for GM and did well. So we have a paneled house. Today people are going, get that out of here, let's drywall it and paint it bright colors. I understand. What, is there anything wrong with paneling the house? No, and I don't think that's the point. In fact, it may have been that God said, you all need to recognize how blessed you are, that you're able to do this. But it's true that when we care more about our own things than the things of God, that's when the temple will lie in ruins. God said the temple is lying in ruins over here, and it's not that you all don't have the resources to build it. You spent it on yourself. You spent it on your house. Anything wrong with spending money on your house? No. I'm going to make a point about using our houses. And I can't point my finger at you. I just refloored an entire room and a part of our house. Bet you've been real patient with me. So I've upgraded the house. But the point is, do the cares of this world keep us from building the temple? Do we neglect the work of the Lord for our own work? Is our own physical labor so important to us that really we do more and more of that so that we can have more paneled houses and the work of the Lord's neglected? Well, let's make some application. If I made you feel bad, I'm not trying to make you feel bad, although if we need to feel bad, we need to feel bad, but there's some good things we can do. Here's what God said to the people. Go up to the mountains in verse 8 and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified. There are two things I want you to consider. The word temple used in the New Testament. It's used two different ways. The second one is where we read in Ephesians chapter 2 in a moment. And I'm going to do that secondly here. The first one is when it refers to my body, me, this my person. That this body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Paul describes it as such in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 19. So the first thing I want to urge you to do today is to be reminded that you have a temple. You have a body. And that this body is supposed to be used in the service of the Lord. I just heard this prayer yesterday. It can be cliche-ish, but at the same time said sincerely, Lord, thank you for this food that we're about to partake of. May it go to our bodies. It's good for our bodies, and our bodies used in service to you. May it be used by our bodies, and may our bodies be used in service to you. And that says what Paul's saying. Use your body. Use your life. Use the energies. Use the senses. Use your hands. Use your feet. Go. Use your hands. Lift. Carry. Burdens. Use your mind. Think. Use your mouth. Teach. Use your eyes. Look. Use your body for the good that I created it to be used for. And be careful. Don't try to take care of your body. How much should you try to take care of your body? Absolutely. To a certain point. I know the food thing can get way out there. And what yesterday's not good for us, today's fine, you know. Eat all the bacon you want today. A few years ago, it was clogging your arteries. Now it's the food of choice. Moderation. But seriously, God says take care of this. That's why we talk about drugs and alcohol and other things that we take in that just are destructive to our lives, destructive to our bodies, destructive to our minds, destructive to our senses. And people that do that can't be useful to the Lord because they're not taking care of themselves. So first lesson today is get the materials you need to build the temple. And God's given us some materials. And recognize the importance of your individually taking care of your own temple. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, Paul wrote to the Philippians. Regularly reading the Word of God. If God is your Father, listening to Him, reading His Word. The Bible is His Word. Are you reading it? Are you listening to it? Are you getting these words deeply embedded in your heart? Am I doing that? Are we regularly worshiping God together with others? Why? To be, you got it. You already said it, haven't you? To be, what's the purpose? Edified. Now somebody tell me what the word edify means. You've heard it all your life. To build up. And that's the purpose of assembling. 1 Corinthians 14. To be built up. To be encouraged. To be stirred. To do better. Are you talking to God? Are you praying to God? Why are preachers like me? Because sometimes I need it. Why are preachers like me trying to look over an audience of God's people like you are, and good people and people that help me, and we help each other? But sometimes we have to be encouraged to read the Bible and to pray. It almost seems like we just do that almost naturally because we're God's children, but apparently we don't. We have to be encouraged. We have to be taught. Paul had to say to the Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Paul had to tell the Philippians, don't be anxious for anything, but pray to God. Philippians 4. We need to be told, need to be reminded, need to be taught to do that. We think about prayer together. Have you found your prayer life as you get older, spending more time thanking God than asking Him for anything? I imagine it is when you're growing spiritually. Doesn't mean we still don't have requests. Still doesn't mean that there aren't times we need to ask the Lord for help even as we age. There'll be some reasons for that as we get older and we deal with the challenges of age. But I wonder if we spend more time being thankful. We've learned to live more perfectly according to His will, may learn to pray more perfectly, asking according to His will. I do believe we become thankful more than ever. We're not immature and irresponsible children who are asking their aging parents for help, pleading to God for help, and we've neglected to do His will all along. We get to the point where we're anxious and discontent, and then we ask God to change us or change our circumstances. When we haven't been building. What happens when God says no to us? And He does. Will we stop building? Paul said no. God said no to my prayer and I'm not going to stop building. And when God says no to you, don't stop building. That's a time of testing. It's an opportunity actually for building up. Don't be discouraged. Don't fail to get the materials you need to build up your life. After saying those things, let me quickly note something. There's also a God who is willing to help you build from wherever you are right now. Let it lie in ruins, done our own thing, taken care of our own affairs, and then we get over here and find out we haven't taken care of the temple. And now it's a problem. Prodigal son comes home. And God says, right here, right now, I forgive you. Let's celebrate. I'm going to help you become the person you need to be. But don't you give up. Whatever circumstances you're in, wherever you are, God says, I will help you build right now. And one of the things we have got to do in our day and time is live godly, moral lives. In fact, the context of 1 Corinthians 6:19 is Paul warning the Corinthians and warning the men in particular not to join themselves with prostitutes or harlots. And that was a problem in Corinth. Don't do that. Because you sin against your body. You sin in a way that's actually pretty unique to sexual immorality. He says, don't do that. Don't do that. That's why we encourage our young people, unmarried, to live faithfully and carefully and morally. Because you'll be glad you did. you'll have a temple, a home that you'll be proud of someday, thankful for. What about the church? Sometimes the temple in Scripture is used to refer to the local church and maybe even all Christians, all the worldwide Christians. And I think it's used that way even in 1 Corinthians 3. So Paul uses it both ways in the same letter. Can I ask you a question? How you doing? Are you building others up? Are we building one another up? Purpose of assembly? Are we stirring each other up? Are we provoking each other to love and good works? That is the purpose of Hebrews 10:25, stated in Hebrews 10:24. Preach, 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 preach. Chapter verse 25, and we skip over verse 24. We stir up each other. It's a time to stir up. You know, there's some assemblies that are going to be different. And I was thinking about this. I was thinking about what we experienced last Sunday night. And I'll tell you something. Mason led us in the song, The Life of a Flower. In fact, he changed his songs when we learned that Donnie had passed away. And we sang The Life of a Flower. Those words have been stuck in my head all week, and maybe for a long time. That's why we do things together, to be reminded, to be stirred up. And that particular assembly stirred our hearts. Brownie leading us in some thoughts, and we studied together. And if you weren't here, you missed that. And I'm not talking about the people that needed to be attending, and Ina and Elaine and others, and our elders. It turned out to be a blessing, although we don't want to have those blessings on account of the tragedy. But you missed that. And that's a memory you can never have. You need to be here. Not just to be here. Because you help and we help each other when we're together. Are you serving others? Are you helping the weak? Are you showing hospitality to one another? Hey, remodel your house. Now use it. Lay the new floor on your upstairs and then invite all the teenagers over and dare anybody to spill something. Actually, I'm thinking about before I do that, I'm going to go up and take a big red and just pour it on there myself. Just do it first. Get it over with. Kind of like the guy who said he took a key to his new car and just went down the side of it just to get it over with. You know, he knew it was going to happen. Remind me of an old gospel preacher said one time, said, you got a coffee table? Have you got one of those white rings in the finish of that? Because somebody set a drink and they somehow didn't get the coaster. You didn't get the coaster in time. And now you got a ring in your nice oak, walnut, cherry, whatever it is, coffee table. And this old preacher said, when you look at that, remember the good you did. So use it. Use our homes for good. Have Bible studies in your home. Have singings in your home. Have somebody over to encourage, to help them. Use it. Don't just build it for yourself. I say all of that because I know when I say those things, I got people built new houses and remodeling, doing all kinds of things, and they're thinking, boy, Lee is just hammering away at us. And like I said, I'm in this too. But it's interesting, as I've been here and I've experienced that with some of you, I've watched you use your homes. Use your homes to raise kids. Love your kids, raising them in the Lord. Using it well. God bless you for that. I don't think you're necessarily in this story, although all of us need to remember sometime. Maybe we can get more concerned about the things of the world and the things of God. So let's go on. Hospitality for each other. Studying and praying for one another. Are you studying your Bible together? Are we praying for one another? Are the pastors and the evangelists and the teachers feeding the sheep, as Ephesians chapter 4 tells us, is our role as we build each other up and teach each other and move us on to spiritual maturity? All of that is a part of our recognizing that the temple is every one of us and that we have responsibility to that temple. That temple will lie in ruins when the people of God stop doing the work that enables that temple to do that work. I wish I could encourage all of us to do whatever our share is in the work, and that's what we're trying to do. Whether it's an elder or a doorkeeper, let's learn to do what we do and do it well and be content with that and rejoice and be thankful for those who do the work of shepherding and others do the work of serving. Everybody doing their part. That's what we're trying to get people to do. Don't expect everybody to do the same thing. That's not biblical. We need to find what it is we can do and be actively involved in the temple of the Lord. Too many churches, I'm afraid, and that's too negative. I'm trying not to be that way. There are places, sometimes even maybe among us, that some that don't do the work that we wish they did and get involved in the work as much as we wish they would. And yet the work goes on. The temple does not lie in ruins. Because we've got people doing the work. We just want to get more people involved. Because the more people involved, the more the temple will be built up. The more people that will be taught and converted. When more of us get involved in doing that work. So, you don't have time right now? When are you going to have time? You've heard it said before, I tell you what, I promise you, you've got 24 hours a day. And unless you're Hezekiah, or unless you're Joshua, and God decides to do something strange with the time, I'm going to suggest to you, that's all you got. That's all I got. He's not going to give you an extra hour. He said, here's the time I give, and you get to choose how you spend it. And that's a message my father taught me. He said, most of us do exactly what we want to do with our time. So I encourage you today to think about it, please. It's a blessing to do the work, the joy of doing the work. I want you to come on board if you're not already. I want you to be a Christian. Why are you waiting? Well, it's not a good time. Why not? Well, it's just not. Making the same excuse the people of God did in Haggai's day. I'm going to guarantee you something. And I say this kindly but plainly. The day will come. We stand before the Lord the day of judgment. And we will wish we had taken the time to rebuild the temple of our lives. Come to the Lord Jesus, please. If we can help you do that today, we encourage you as we stand and sing together.
When we walk with the Lord.